why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. So this is the first episode post of Valentine's Day. I have been seeing a lot of interesting comments and statuses thrown up after Valentine's Day 2019. I told you guys, I warned you on Valentine's Day that if you did not do what you needed to do, you would likely be canceled by the morning. WhatsApp groups all over the world would have you as the topic of discussion. And I was right, because from what I'm seeing on social media, it looks like there might have been some situations occurring on on Valentine's Day 2019. And just like I also predicted, for those of you, because I was a victim this year and so were a lot of my friends, we have people in our DMs 364 days a year. Good morning. Hello. What's up? Beautiful. What are you doing? Thinking about you, whatever. Ironically enough, on Valentine's Day, DMs across the nation were silent. Silence was happening. Like, not even a hello was distributed in the DMs on Valentine's Day for many individuals across the globe. Coincidence? I think not. But anyways, moving along with the show, we have a lot to talk about. We have a very, very, very special guest who will be on the show a little later today by the name of Edwina Kulego, who is the founder of Essentials by Edwina, a cosmetics line. So she will be here to talk about all sorts of goodness, her journey, her business path, being a new mom and juggling all of this craziness. So definitely stay tuned for that. Keep it locked. But before we go on with the show, I have a word from our sponsors. Trendy Tripping, a co-retailing space that allows artists, entrepreneurs, and startups the opportunity to showcase and sell their products without the risk of renting their own retail space. So for those of you who have been following me on social media, I've been posting a little bit about Trendy Tripping. And again, if you guys are interested, if you guys are entrepreneurs, startups out there looking for a place, a venue, a space, looking for a community, a collective to be a part of, to share, showcase, sell your products, check out the Trendy Tripping, and you can follow them at T-R-E-N-D-Y Tripping, T-R-I-P-P-I-N-G on social media. So on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can be part of the Trendy Market. So guys, we are not going to get into the womp womps and the big ups of the week. I know you guys are sad, but the conversation with Edwina is so rich that I want to make sure that I have enough time for that. But we do have the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word of the week is stashing. Stashing is when you're in a relationship with someone and you refuse to introduce them to your friends and family, mostly because you view the person as temporary, replaceable, and or an asshole. Oh, no, sorry. And or you're an asshole. Ooh, okay. Example, friend. Hey, have you met John's parents yet? You've been together for months. Stashy, or the person being stashed. No, I think he's stashing me. We don't have any pictures together either. So for those of you going back to Valentine's Day 2019, for those of you who did not receive any love or affection or anything of meaning on Valentine's Day, you might want to do a little inventory check on social media. You might want to do a little reflection, a little, I don't know, case study to see whether or not you are being stashed, whether you are a stashy, because that might be the reason you did not get any real love on Valentine's Day. They might be stashing you. Your significant other might be stashing you. So that is the word of the week. Take it, use it, apply it. You're welcome. So, like I said, we're not going to have the womp womp or the big up of the week. But I did want to just mention a couple of things that I saw going through social media. And we will talk about them on later episodes. But I guess this is kind of a womp womp. Burberry, guys. So if you guys are not aware of what's been going on in the news lately, in the most recent fiasco with these fashion labels, Burberry now joins the roster with Prada, with Gucci, you know, H&M, with all of them, right? So last week during Fashion Week in London, so London Fashion Week, Burberry featured a hooded, I guess a hoodie of some sort with a noose around its neck. So it featured a hoodie. So the hoodie featured a noose around the neck, right? And so, of course, people are up in arms. People are like, what is going on? But at this point, I feel like they're trolling us. Like, I don't know, these fashion designers, this white corporate America, white corporate global whatever fashion industry is trolling Black people because this is ridiculous. Now, so I don't even want to go in too much about that because it's just like, it's just another, I don't know, another day in the park with these people. But I did see some interesting commentary that some individuals, maybe white people, I guess, they didn't actually take it as a racial issue. They took it more of a mental health, an attack on mental health and an attack on suicide. And I believe, I don't remember the first name, but it goes by the name. I think the last name might be Kennedy. Stated on social media, and I believe an article was also released, basically stating that, you know, suicide is nothing to laugh at. Suicide is nothing to feature. Suicide is not fashion. There's nothing fashionable about suicide because the noose represented more so suicide to that individual as opposed to a racial concern or a racial issue or an attack on Black people. So it's very interesting to see that dynamic, to see that there is a group of people who believe that this noose being featured around the neck at London Fashion Week was more so to do with suicide. And then there's the other group, I think, which is a larger group, which believes that this was just another example, another incident of these fashion designers, these fashion labels, corporate attacking Black people. Ugh, so that's that. Now, Bernie Sanders is running for president. Now, I really don't know how to feel about this because the man is one, I don't know if he has a pacemaker. I don't know what's going on, but he looks like he has a pacemaker. He looks like he is just, I don't even know. I feel like he would only last 1 year, like if even, because the pressures of the presidency are just, I don't know. Like, I don't understand how Donald Trump is still looking his age. But I mean, the pressures of the presidency is crazy. You saw Obama, he went in with all Black hair and now is a freaking silver fox, right? So imagine the toll that it will take on Bernie Sanders. And white people don't age well to begin with. I am more so fearful about the state of his health moving forward at this point, but I don't know. It will be an interesting thing to see. And I will definitely be talking about it later on in the season, as this presidential race moves forward. But it's very interesting. I had a feeling that Uncle Bernie was going to throw his hat in the ring. But for him to actually announce it publicly, I'm looking forward to seeing how all this will play out with all of the Democratic nominees that are coming out. I mean, we have Kamala Harris. I mean, we got to support our sister. But now you have Bernie Sanders, who maybe might get the popular vote again. I don't know. I don't know, guys. It's going to be a very interesting presidential 2020. So I definitely am going to be following this race very closely. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then the last thing I want to just mention right quick before I move into the meat of the show is that New York City has banned discrimination on hair. Kudos to New York City, who recently, the New York City Commission of Human Rights recently put out some guidelines to basically punish individuals or employers, entities that are discriminating against people who wear their hair natural. So whether it be locks, whether it be, you know, afros, whether it be in braids, any type of styles of that nature, there are some hefty fees now, some hefty fines for discriminating against individuals based on their hair and categorizing this really under race discrimination. So we will talk about that as well on a later episode. But I just wanted to throw that out there for those of you who don't know that New York City is definitely moving in the right direction. And now it is now categorized discrimination to discriminate against somebody because of the state of their hair. So that's that. All right, everyone. I am here today with my very special guest, Edwina Culego. Did yes. I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
All right. Edwina, tell the people, who are you? What do you do?
Well, my name is Edwina Culego. I do international business development. That's one of the few things I do. I also own Essentials by Edwina, which is a beauty and cosmetics brand that specializes in vegan cosmetics. And we have a division that's especially for women of color. And I am a traveler, I'm a dreamer, I'm a reader, I am a daughter, I'm also recently a mother.
Congratulations.
As of April. Thank you.
Clap, 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 clap.
What else? I mean, there's so much, but yeah, I'm a lover of life and of cultures. I live in New York. I've lived here for the past 12 years. I was born and raised in Sweden by way of Ghana. So my parents were born and raised in Ghana, moved to Sweden in their 20s and had me and my siblings. So I never really lived in Ghana, but I'm very connected to my Ghanaian culture, That's my good. Heritage. I speak the languages. And yeah, I love Ghana.
So I do have a question, though, since you brought up your Ghanaian or Ghanaian mm-hmm. background. The jollof rice situation.
Yes.
Now, we know there are jollof wars, right, between the Ghanaians and the Nigerians.
Wars. Yeah.
Now, whose jollof is better?
The thing is like, I feel like the Nigerians must have come up with the whole war concept.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
For Ghanaians, there is no war. There is no challenge. We're hands down the best in jollof. So I don't even call it. I feel like the Nigerians must have come up with this challenge of a battle because we don't battle. We already know we're the best. Sorry, my Nijas.
I was introduced to this war like maybe like a couple summers ago because I have Nigerian friends.
Right.
I've been more familiar with Nigerians than Ghanaians.
Right.
And so when I heard about this jollof war, I'm like, wait, you guys have jollof rice too? Like, I didn't even know that Ghanaians had jollof rice as well. I thought it was a Nigerian thing.
Right.
Then I hear that. Every African nation has a jollof.
Yes, and then like the Gambians and the Senegalese started getting involved. I'm like, whoa, this is getting out of hand.
It
Honestly,
is.
I didn't know that Nigerians had jollof. I always grew up knowing it was a Ghanaian thing. So
interesting. Yeah,
it's interesting.
No, it's been. I mean, I've had Ghanaian jollof rice, I think, twice, but mm-hmm. I've always had like the Nigerian. But
right.
then my friend, whose mom is, she's Nigerian and Sierra Leonean.
Yes.
She made a jollof rice.
They do jollof rice too.
And I was like, that jollof rice was amazing. So now I'm so confused.
There's competition.
I'm so confused. The Sierra Leoneans might give everybody a run for their money. Mm. They have like a special technique. It was so good.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Team Ghana all the way.
So I'm trying to think about the first time I encountered your line.
Yeah.
Edwina or Essentials by Edwina. I think so. My friend Danny in the Bloom, shout out to Danielle Henry, makeup artist extraordinaire. We follow each other on social media. We've been friends for a while. She's done my makeup. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I was seeing, you know, she was posting about, you know, this lipstick line that she uses, you know, on a lot of her clients.
Yeah.
And I think there might have been a campaign that you might have done.
Yeah. She was the head for it.
So I was like, huh, what is this thing? It keeps flowing through my social media. And then I came to Brooklyn Commons, I think it was a couple of months ago. Yeah. And there was this panel, I think Womanpreneur.
Womanpreneur
was doing this, I think she was part of this like collective.
Yeah.
And you were one of the tables. And I'm like, I know this brand.
Yeah, Sharon, the founder of Womanpreneur, who I'm actually meeting today after this.
Oh, great.
She launched a book, which is an amazing book for new businesses, mm-hmm. anyone launching a new business. And we were one of the vendors there, and that's where I met you.
Yes, and I'm like, I have to go to the table, and I knew I had some room, but I was like, I got to get. And then I saw that red lipstick,
yes,
and I was
the
like,
Lala.
I was like, I need to find out how to get this. I have to run.
Yay.
My birthday's coming up.
Yes.
And I remember I was telling you the story about the whole birthday lipstick thing.
Yeah.
I ordered the lipstick, and I'm like, I need it for my birthday. And ironically enough, I had canceled my birthday party the weekend of the 8th, so I'm December 4th. Shout out to the Sagittarians out there. And then, so that birthday weekend got like canceled. And then the weekend after, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get ready. I'm like, man, I really wanted my lipstick. I'm like, when is it getting in here? And then that same day, like I went, something told me, go downstairs, check the mail, just check the mail. And then the lipstick was there just in time for my birthday
magically
outing.
Magically appeared.
So I went out that night with my Lala on. Everybody's been giving me compliments ever since.
It looks so good on you.
Thank you. It is. It's hard to find reds for us.
Yes.
It's
hard. It is. A big part of the brand really was finding these pigmented colors for women of color,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's so many options there. And for us, it's like we have to do a lot of mixing to get to the final product that we want. And it's like, why should we have to do that? You know, we're in 2019. We should have to go into a store and just be like, this goes with my skin. This is actually healthy makeup, which was a big part of the brand too, is we wanted it to be cruelty-free. You know, we wanted it also to be rich, you know, rich with vitamins for our skin.
Yes.
So Selfie Cosmetics and I were able to kind of create this formula for women of color. And, you know, it's been received so well. We actually entered into our first retail partnership with Essence Magazine.
Okay.
Essence just launched an online platform called Shop Essence.
Okay.
And basically what they do is they support black female entrepreneurs. So there are a lot of brands, fashion brands out there, apothecary, candles, and they actually decided to onboard us. So customers can find us on shop.essence.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I will say, when you mentioned like the vitamins and the nutrients and just like the vegan quality of the lipstick, I will say that I definitely felt it, because when I put it on, it glided on. I didn't have to put on this like moisturizer first. And so I felt like it glided on. Like it felt like it was actually like, you know, a mix between like a lip balm almost and a lipstick.
Yeah.
So that I can I can attest to it, guys.
I love that.
I can attest to it. It was really good.
I wanted to do mattes first because I love matte lipsticks, but then Nicole was like, you know, they get kind of dry, they get kind of chappy. Why don't we go for like a cream to matte lipstick? So the good thing about it is it applies really nice, but then it also dries. So it stays. So I'm like, wait, where did you guys come up with this formula? Because this is bomb. We need to like put a trademark or a patent on this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been great.
Okay. So I know that you explained, I guess, the reasoning for getting into this particular line of business. But I guess, how did the vision like come to you though? Because a lot of people have ideas, but it's very rare that we can execute them in such a manner.
It kind of slapped me upside my head. I think it was something that was like, come on, Edwina, like the signs are there, and I wasn't paying attention. So I grew up in my mother's hair salon, and she also sold a lot of beauty products. And in Sweden at that time, there weren't a lot of people of color. There weren't a lot of Africans. There was a small community, but my mom was one of the first people to, she was actually the first beauty supply store and salon for women of color. So she would go to Amsterdam and London and buy, like, you know, the texturizers, you know, the Jerry Curl creams that we were all using at that time, but also like makeup. So we did a lot of like Black Opal and Fair.
I remember Black Opal.
Yeah,
it's
what's
still
the
a
other
thing.
One? Yeah, it's still a thing. Black Opal is great,
it's
actually.
Still a thing.
There's another brand that everyone, Fashion Fair?
There's Fashion Fair, and then there's like also Milani.
Milani, yes. Iman was also one of the brands at that time. So she used to like import a lot of those products in, so like the blacks in Sweden could have makeup because we couldn't like run down to like H&M or wherever and get the beauty products off of the shelf. So I feel like that kind of manifested later on in life because I started just wanting to find more positive solutions for women. I'm not heavy on makeup, I'll be honest. Like, you won't see me with my face beat unless Danielle has something to do with it. But one thing I do always have in my purse is my lipstick. Like, you know, because you can go from like a regular look to like a poppin' look with like a red lip. And because I travel so much for work, I'm always in and out of meetings. I always wanted to have like a quick fix. So I met Nicole from Selfie Cosmetics through mutual friends who were like, "You guys need to get together." I thought she wanted me to talk about like consulting or me helping because I do a lot of like brand development.
Okay.
And to my surprise, she was like, "No, I want to do a collaboration with you." And she's worked with, you know, a lot of reality stars and celebrities, a lot of the housewives and before.
Atlanta?
So, yes.
Because I love the Atlanta housewives.
Did, she did Claudia Jordan while she was a housewife, which was a really good collab. So I was like, "Wait, why do you want to work with me?" Like, I was like, little old me. And she was like, "No, you know, that micro-influencer thing is a thing." And she was like, "I'm all about working with like real women and, you know, attracting their network when it comes to collaborations that we're doing now." She wanted just to like go smaller but reach a real community, not just like celebs, reality stars, etc. So I thought about it and I was like, why not? You know, I grew up in beauty. I love a good lip. So I was like, I'd love to do it, but it has to be something that's true to my brand. I love wearing, she was like, "Well, what colors do you like wearing?" I was like, "I love a good nude, even though it's hard for me to find one."
Yeah, me
too. Which is why we created one. And I was like, "Reds, you know, it's like nice to like have a pop of color when you go out for drinks with your friends or what have you." So that's really what gave birth to the brand. It came from, you know, just signs. And then from me actually listening to myself and being like, "Okay, I can do this." So it's been a wonderful journey. I've learned so much about the industry already.
It's interesting how you said that, you know, your mom was in the beauty field. I find that a lot of people who, women of color especially, who go into that entrepreneurial route, they had someone in their family. It could have been their mom, their grandmother, their auntie, but somebody was there to kind of plant the seed and be, you know, the example as to, you know, being an entrepreneur.
I remember like working in the store and having, you know, women coming in to get their hair done or getting makeup applied and just leaving feeling confident, feeling beautiful, looking beautiful. And I think that's what I wanted with this brand, was really for women to find something that they enjoyed, something that made them feel confident and beautiful. So definitely, you're right. It has to connect with something from the past.
Okay, so how long has Essentials by Edwina been in existence?
For 2 years. Okay. So the first year was kind of like we were testing a lot, figuring out the formulas. We did a lot of factory visits to make sure, you know, the quality control was there. The products are all made in the U.S.
So we're also not in China.
Not in China. Okay. No shade to products made in China, but because it started off as a small brand, I felt like we could kind of manage it being here. And I also wanted to see what we were making.
Yeah.
You know, I was super nervous about that. And that's one of the things I discussed with Nicole initially. I was like, I really don't want anyone having an outbreak. Mm-hmm. You know, I really want to make sure that these products are good because I have my name on the line. So I did a lot of testing. We did change some formulas, some colors, until we found the right ones initially.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I guess the other thing that's just popping in my mind is that, you know, the beauty industry, it's out there, and I find that people are a little intimidated in getting into it, right? Like, I hear people all the time, like, they have these great ideas. Like, even myself, like, I was just like, you know, my grandmother, like, a lot of my stuff comes from her. And I'm like, she loved, you know, nail polish.
Yes.
And so I'm like,
it would be great to like start a nail polish line. Like my, like the same way you have lipstick in your bag, my grandmother had a nail polish in her bag. And one of the reasons though is because, you know, as she was getting older, you know, her nails would start to like kind of turn that interesting weird color that happened. And so for her, it was like she always needed to like make sure that the color was there to mask it.
Yeah.
And so for those reasons, I was like, you know, that'd be interesting, but how does one even get into this?
Yeah. I mean, you really have to, I think it's important to really believe in what you're doing and to find your niche. Because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, so many people were like, lipstick, makeup, like, why would you even bother? Like, there's Sephora out there, like, there's Fenty, who's killing it, and I love her stuff. But, you know, she had an angle, too, and I think I would have been foolish to not pursue this because of what other people thought was like, oh, well, I can get this anywhere. Like, vegan lipsticks are out there, but... You know, it's all about your branding. It's about the audience that you're trying to attract. It's about your formula. And, you know, there are so many people in the world who need something.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about going for it. If you really believe that it's something that will make a difference, make an impact, do it. You know, don't let anyone deter you from it. Of course, there's a lot of nail polish out there, but... Look, we're on Shop Essence today, you know, because they believed in our product and they loved it. So... I also think it's about creating something that could be slightly different. So for you, with the nail polish, my initial thought is like, why not create like a cute little maybe a bag or maybe a little holder for like older women to carry their, you know, their nail polish thing. Just to tie it into the reason why you created it. I think little things like that make a huge difference because then you're really like tying it into a real story.
Yeah.
And when you're telling it, you're gonna have consumers that are like, I'm buying this product because it was inspired by this. And my grandma did it too, you know? So it's all about, it's a lot of things that go into product and even service, you know? It's branding.
Yeah.
Like, does your stuff look good? Because sometimes people just want to have a cute little tube of lipstick in their bag because it has Chanel on it.
Yeah.
Not because they love that color or they can't find it in a regular store.
That's true.
So there's so much more to selling stuff than just the idea.
And I think that's definitely something that like I've learned. And it's funny that you talk about the lipstick because I've seen like a lot of the brands out there, because I'll go to Sephora here and there. I've gotten into lipstick heavily in the last couple of years. I was not a lipstick person so much because I'm like, oh, I don't have this heaviness on my lip. I don't like it.
Right.
But the bottles, like the little tubes, some of them have bows, some of them have like magnetic, you know.
It's
like, so they're really, so I think what you're saying is it's really true because the brands are differentiating themselves just by making it look so sleek and cute. And so you're more in love with the packaging.
Absolutely. You want to take it out, like if you're on a plane or if you're sitting in front of your friends and show off your cute little tube. Like Nicole from Selfie just showed me new tubes that she's making and they have like a little mirror on the backside.
Oh.
And they have a light. So when you take the lipstick out, there'll be a light. So even if you're in like a dark room, you could still apply your lipstick with a mirror and the light. So there you go.
Yeah, see that? That is actually, because I find that is, you know, you don't always have your mirror on you. And sometimes you go into these spots, these lounges, these restaurants, and everybody's into this dark bathroom thing. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh, yeah, in the clubs, in the lounges.
I don't understand this dark, you can't find anything. You can't apply, a part of me thinks that it might be intentional because they know women go in there, they tie up the bathrooms for makeup.
It has to be.
Because it doesn't make sense.
No, not at all. I agree. And you're like fumbling, trying to, you know, find your stuff. And then you apply something. And then you look in the mirror. You're like, oh, you have makeup on you have lipstick on your teeth. Oh, trust me. I've been through all of it.
Yeah, it's just like,
this
is
ridiculous.
It's
a New York thing. I feel like New York has a lot of those dark bathrooms.
And I'm just like, I am over this.
Yes. It's not cute.
The ambiance is cool out there, not in the bathroom.
Sometimes I use the light on my phone.
Okay, so you mentioned that you do international business.
Yes.
So what exactly is that? Yes. And how does that experience help shape, you know, where you're going with Essentials by Edwina?
Essentials? Good question. I mean, I think before I started working international business development, I grew up being Ghanaian in Sweden. So already I was kind of international, right? Mm-hmm. And then my mom put us in an international school. So I had like British teachers, and I went to school with a lot of children from all over the world who kind of settled, like either their parents were ambassadors and kind of settled in Sweden. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my network became very international from a young age. My mom was really big on traveling, so we always had like 2 trips every year where we would either visit like our family in London, or would go to Ghana, or sometimes she went and, you know, bought products in China, for example. So I was exposed to a lot of different cultures early. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the international kind of global side was a part of me from a young age.
Okay.
And then I became very interested in learning other languages. So in school, you know, Swedish was my first language. Then I learned French, which I'm so poor at now. I feel like I've lost most of it.
That's kind of how I feel myself.
Yes. Because French has so many irregular verbs, it was so hard to learn compared to Spanish.
Yeah. No, French is a language that, I mean, I've been studying it all my life pretty much.
Right.
And, you know, I was really good at one point. I was tutoring people.
Wow.
But, I mean, now that I'm trying, like, because, you know, who do I speak French with? My mom doesn't want to speak French. She wants to speak English or whatever. So I'm looking, I'm like, well, how many of these verbs?
Right.
It's, the imperfect?
Oh my God. That's what I mean.
That was the worst.
I was just like, lady, like, I was getting into it with my teacher. I was having a hard time with French. So I moved on to Spanish, which I loved. So then I decided we had like a choice of traveling and doing our like final project in high school. And I did mine in Barcelona, where I learned about the Catalan identity. So I fell in love with Spanish then. And then I ended up working for Zara in the tech group in Copenhagen, Denmark. So I learned Danish.
Interesting.
So that brings my languages up to Swedish, Danish, English, 3. And then, of course, I'm from Ghana, and I always spoke Ghan at home with my family. And then I took Spanish in Barcelona. So 5 languages.
All right. All right, queen.
Yes, honey. I love speaking other languages. It's fun. And you get to connect with people on a different level. Like, when you travel, they're really impressed. Like, oh, you, like, even in Ghana. And I'm like, but wait, I'm Ghanaian. They're like, yeah, but you're not, like, Ghanaian.
You're not Ghanaian.
And then when I start speaking Ghana, they're like, okay. So I moved to New York, and I was pursuing a career in fashion.
So I thought.
And education in fashion first. And then I realized, okay, I don't want to study this. Fashion is all about who you know and networking. Mm-hmm. So I switched my major to international business, which I thought was more fitting. Thank God I did that. And then I did all of my electives and internships in fashion. So I worked at Essence Magazine in the fashion department.
Okay.
I worked for Andrew Hilfiger at Tommy Hilfiger. And then finally, I worked for, I became the intern to Sharifa Murdoch, who now runs Liberty Fairs, but at that time she was running Project Trade Show.
Okay.
So I kind of fell into the trade show world, which is like the business of fashion. Mm-hmm. And that's been, I've been in that field for the past 8 years. So I kind of climbed up in the company, and now I run our international business development department.
Okay.
So to answer your question, what that means is I help international brands launch their businesses in the U.S., particularly in fashion. So let's say there's a designer from Milan, and they really want to enter the U.S. market. We kind of help onboard them. We get them placement at our shows, but we also help them with like branding and marketing and sales strategies to help them become successful in this market. Yeah.
Okay, so you are the wizard.
Some days I'd like to think so.
And it's amazing that it is a black woman who is the wizard.
Well,
thank you.
I'll take it. It's a lot of fun.
So then I already see how that
ties into,
you know, you already know what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, after 8 years, I have some experience.
A little something.
But, you know, it's funny. Like, a lot of a lot of brands and companies think that, okay, well, you know, I have this brand and I'm doing great here. I'm just going to take it somewhere else and do the same thing. And that you can't do the same thing because culturally it's just received differently. You know, you'll have some marketing campaigns that work really well in other places, and then you take them somewhere else and it's like nudity. You know, all of a sudden people hate your brand and they boycott you, and then you might be in some legal battles. So I think just taking a few steps back and really analyzing, you know, the market or the nation you want to enter, that's kind of what I've been focusing on for the past couple of years. And I really love it. It's interesting.
Yeah. See, it's like, and I can see that you love it. Yeah. Like, I feel the energy from you. Like, when you're talking about it, you're like, this is my thing, right?
Yeah. And I finally found my thing.
Yeah. And I think it's inspirational because a lot of women of color, especially, like, you know, we're... Some of us are in that rut where we're like, I don't know if we love what we do. We know what we want to do in our mind, but you know, because of circumstance, living in New York City, as we talked about earlier, it's a little difficult.
It is
a little hard.
Mm-hmm. You got to own it.
Yeah.
You have to, because I've definitely been in that place where I didn't know what I wanted to do, or I knew what I wanted to do, but I was too afraid to ask for it. Mm-hmm. And finally, I was just like, I went to our CEO and I was like, this is what we need. We need like an international person in this company who's focusing on getting brands from overseas to launch here. And they thought it was a brilliant idea. And now we have a whole department doing that. But if I didn't say anything, I don't know if that would have been a thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of like... I really wanted to travel. That was like my selfish motivation to doing more international business for our company. I was like, damn, I love traveling. And with this job, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do so. So I'm going to find a way.
And create it.
And create it. And it worked. And it's so awesome because, you know, I get to travel for a living and I get to spend, I'm in Tokyo every 6 months, which is like one of my favorite cities.
Ooh, bring me with you next time.
Yeah.
I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
It's magical. It's one of those places where you can't really explain it. People are like, what was it like? And I'm like, you have to see it. Like, when I go to London and Paris, I can tell you what it's like. But Tokyo is like, it's almost like out of the world. Like, they do everything on a whole nother level.
Okay.
And it's clean.
Yeah, I've always wanted, like, so I have not been to Asia yet. I like to travel as well.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Asia yet. And I'm like, the first country that I go to has to be Japan.
Yeah.
It can't be, you know, China. It can't be Thailand. Definitely. It has to be Japan because there's just so much culture there.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was really into history. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole, like, Pearl Harbor, all this extra stuff, all the, you know, Japanese internment camp stories. Like, I kind of like, I felt like I kind of gotten the same level, and I'm like, I know the struggle. I know what's going on with you guys. And so I felt like a connection with the Japanese people.
And they're so nice. I mean, they are known to be very polite, sometimes too polite, where they won't really tell you, like, they won't be genuine, or not genuine, but sometimes they have a hard time being truthful because they are so polite. Yeah. Like, if something is wrong, they have a hard time saying, I don't like this. So business-wise, it can be a little challenging because it's hard for you to really get as far as you'd like, as quick as you'd like.
Yeah.
But it's, they're great. Great.
Well, offline, we will talk about our next trip to Tokyo. Yeah.
Yes. And honestly, as a black, you know, I have to say, as a black woman who travels a lot, sometimes by myself, there are certain countries that I'm like, okay, I can't do this trip on my own. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll have, like, our director or whatever go with me. Japan is one of those places where I can, like, walk home at 3 a.m. and not feel afraid, not be worried. But there are other countries I wouldn't advise anyone to
do. We'll create a list and post it.
Yeah, we'll put a list of, like, black girl safe countries.
Yes. Because I think that's, I mean, for a lot of people, that's also the concern, too. Like, you know, going, traveling to these countries where they don't know the language, they don't have people that look like them so much in the streets. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, people are like, are you okay in Japan? And I'm like, I'm great. And, you know, they're so humble. I can't speak for everyone, but... Even the cab drivers will have, like, translation apps or signs in there to help you.
So they're very accommodating.
They are. Oh. But that's also because it might be Tokyo and it is very international and they have a lot of tourists. So I can't speak for other places, but,
Okay, Tokyo has a place in your heart.
Yes, it does. It does.
So you had also stated that you are a new mother.
Yes.
Congratulations
again. Thank you.
So how are you balancing all of this? The traveling for this international business, you know, owning Essentials by Edwina. Like, how does that all work out? Because, I mean, my son is 12 now, so I've kind
Bless
of,
you.
You know, left the baby phase. But yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday.
I'm in it.
And, I mean, I was going through law school at the time, but I wasn't wow. going through all of these
all
different
the things.
Things. So.
I'm going to be honest and say I haven't figured it out. I'm in the stage of figuring things out. Like I was telling you, my mom is here right now because I'm like, it's a whole lot, you know, it is. And I think the word balance is really cute, mm-hmm. but it doesn't always apply.
Yeah.
You know, right now it's like, I'll have my days of balance and then I'll have my days where I'm like, okay, there's no way this is going to be equally balanced. I'm gonna have to like pick, mm-hmm. and I think as a mother, as parents, you kind of have to decide on, you know, what comes first. And I was actually speaking with a good friend of mine, Kim Addis, who's a life coach, and she was like, once I decided that my kids came first, and everything else came after that, it was easier for me to make decisions. You know, like. Her graduation coming up. Okay, she comes first. That seminar is going to have to wait, or that girls' trip is going to have to mm-hmm. wait. So I think for me it's about figuring out what those boundaries are, what can I do, what can't I do, and asking for help.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. for the longest time I've been like doing things on my own, and with this, it really does take a village, and I need to just surrender and say, hey, I need, you know, like Danielle is great with kids and
yes,
she loves my daughter. And she's like, Edwina, honestly, like I'm not just throwing this out there. Like call me if you need just to sleep. You know, some days you just need to rest. She's yeah. like, I can watch her for a few hours while you nap or while you and James go and have a date night. So I think right now I'm just kind of understanding what's going on mm-hmm. and how I want to live my life and how I want to position things with work, for example, you know, working from home a couple of days out the week. Whereas before I'd be like, no, I got it. I'll be there. You know,
yeah.
now it's like, okay, maybe you can't do everything. But I'm trying my best. Some days are great, others are tough, but she's amazing. She's the best thing in the world. But, you know, I'm trying to carve out time for myself, time for the business. Mm-hmm. I'm scheduling calls strategically, you know, during her naps.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm asking for more help. And I have a partner who is really good, so that helps too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So essentially, we can have it all.
You can.
We can have it
You have to go
all.
Through hurdles. But I think it's also about figuring out what the ideal life is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I don't want to compromise the things that I love, like traveling. So James and I have decided, okay, we're going to Tokyo for work. Let's take her with us. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe your mom can join us. And we'll get another hotel room and they can have like a nice little vacation while you and I work because we want to be around her.
Yeah.
So I think it's just about designing it. And it's not going to be perfect. It might be a little expensive.
Yeah.
But if you really want to live your life that way, you can, you know?
Yeah.
You can. You just have to kind of figure things out to where it's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was pregnant, a lot of people were like, well, you can forget traveling. And, you know, that yep. whole international thing, you can throw that out the window. And I'm like panicking, like, well, this is such a big part of who I am. Do I have to sacrifice it? And I know it's going to be less of it, you know? But
yeah.
I want to incorporate her into, and I want her to be international too. So I'm going to make that work.
Yeah, and I think you can because, you know, I know a lot of people who do that. So I have a friend of mine, her and her husband as well, entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their daughter has been to Thailand.
There you go.
Their daughter has been all over the place. Like every, and they're a big traveling couple, you know, like they're the business that they've created together, you know. Part of it is traveling and ministering as well because
lovely.
It's kind of, you know, it's business, but it's also faith-based as well, too. So I think they have an upcoming, like, trip to Kenya, which I am 99.99% sure that child is going to.
Look at that!
And it's cute, though, to be able to see, like, the families, you know, doing things. I mean, although
Absolutely.
She might not remember that she went to Kenya
right.
at the age of, like, 2 or whatever, but it's still beautiful to see, like, these family pictures of you know, people experiencing different cultures, different countries, as a family unit.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think, like, when I look at her and her husband, I'm like, you know, this is kind of where, like, the whole, you know, being with somebody who actually, like, is on your level, like, where that all comes from.
Comes from, yeah. And listen, I'm sure they have, you know, times where things just don't work out the way they want them to, but you have to keep pushing every day.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting, like, the motherhood, you know, it's like, it really is a huge job.
Yeah.
Huge, huge, huge. But I think, you know, the more comfortable you are with yourself and your, you know, the kind of mother you want to be and just the life you want to have, the pressure kind of comes off with that.
It does.
But I had to do a lot of, like, you know, meditating, writing things down, crying things out. You know, the whole first year has been interesting. She's almost one now.
Okay.
She's almost walking, which is insane. It's fun. It's a fun stage now.
Yeah, when they're little like that, it's really to see it's really great to see how their personalities develop.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're figuring out, is this more like me, more like dad?
Right.
Like, you know, where is this coming from? Uh-huh. You know, but it's really cute just to see, like, how they're their own little person.
Yeah, it's like you get to live again.
Yeah.
You get to live because they're discovering everything from scratch and it's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So I think we can also say that you're an author as well.
Yes. I mean, author, co-author. So yeah.
Edwina brought this wonderful book that I cannot wait to read as a gift for me, along with one of her lipsticks, which you guys will be seeing shortly on one of my, you know, lives. But this book is called The Better Business Book. Mm-hmm. Authors Unite. It was a number one best-selling series, it looks like.
Yes, it's a bestseller in two categories on Amazon right now.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your contribution to this book.
Yeah, it's I actually was introduced to the book by my good friend Yetunde Shorters, who does so many different things, branding, PR, but she's also a mom and a good mentor. And she was featured in the book. Okay. And so I picked it up and I'm like, not only do I get to read Yetunde's advice, but there's so many other business people. It's 100 business people in the book that share advice on various things. And so when the opportunity came for volume 4, she was like, I'd love to recommend for you to become an author in the next chapter. And I'm like, no way. Like, I can't become an author. You know, like, writing a book for me was like a goal that I've always had. But, like, I always saw it further down the line. And she's like, Edwina, you're selling yourself short. You have something that you can share for other people to learn when it comes to business. She's like, just think about it. And I did, and I came back, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I was pregnant at the time. No one knew, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, when the book comes out, am I going to be really big? You know, I was thinking about these superficial things that really don't matter, but I was like, jittery. But I wrote the chapter, and my chapter is about successfully navigating international business. So just 7 tools that you can use to kind of refocus when it's time to launch your product or your business in a foreign place. Mm-hmm. So just having cultural sensitivity is one of them, you know, respecting cultures like things like time, for example, in Japan is really important to be on time, whereas I would say in the U.S. you could be a little bit like, if you walk in 5 minutes late, it's okay.
Yeah.
So just like having cultural sensitivity and a bunch of other things, you know, that pertain to launching your business overseas. So that's what my chapter is on.
Okay.
But there are a lot of other really good chapters in there from 99 other business people. So great book.
Yes, I cannot wait to read it because, you know, I'm trying to really... this year in 2019, I'm really just trying to, you know, work smarter and not harder in a sense. So with my business, Free to Women NYC, the accessories line, like this year, you know, we got a new facelift on the website.
Nice.
You know, we're trying to incorporate new things. We have new items on. So we're really just trying to figure out how to, like, break into, you know, the industry in a sense. And so, you know, like with me, my grandmother was the entrepreneur. She was a merchant. She kind of did the same thing, sold different products.
Right.
And that's kind of how, you know, when I was younger, I would, like, be there helping her watching her negotiate, you know, yes. She didn't finish school. So, you know, she was, you know, it was just a
self-taught.
Self-taught, basically, on that's how to great. Kind of maneuver. And so for me, I'm like, I kind of want to, in 2019, you know, we started the business in 2017 in August. And now it's like, we need to be able to move upward and onward.
Yes.
And so I guess getting tips from other people who've been doing this or are currently doing it, but have something to share. I'm really looking forward to. So thank you so much for the gift.
Of course, it's a great book, and like you said, it just has tools on negotiation and you know, breaking out of bad habits. It's really good stuff in there. I still haven't gotten through the book, but my friend Sharifa and I were talking about it, and we're like, we should do like a chapter a day because it's like 2 to 3 pages. Oh, super so easy to do.
Yeah.
And that way you kind of learn new tidbits every day for business.
Yeah, okay. 100-day challenge maybe?
Yeah. There you
sounds
go.
Like a 100-day challenge.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yes. All right. Well, this was really great. Thank you so much for even making time to speak with me. I was like, when I reached out to you, I'm like, I wonder if she's going to say yes.
Yes. I love just having good conversation and learning. You know, you learn from everyone.
Yes.
If you really want to, you can. And I think it's great that you have this platform to share and to bring guests on and for people to tune in and learn something new. So kudos to you.
Oh, thanks.
For doing this.
I think it's important. I feel like I know so many people that are doing great things. And people, you know, in our age groups, women of color, men of color, who are really just doing amazing things. And there's not really much platforms out there. But there are people who do podcasts as well. And they, you know, there's a lot of people doing that. But I just feel like within my network, I just know so many people. And I'm like, but nobody's seeing anything that they're doing. So hopefully this is a, you know, a little contribution. And hopefully,
absolutely. It goes a long way. Yeah. You never know who's listening. Like I had someone, I did a podcast, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
I think so. I think I did get the link. So I did tune into it.
Yeah, Frame of Mind. It was so much fun. And, you know, I had a couple of people reach out to me. One was a bookstore in, is it Kenya? I think it was Kenya. And she was like, hey, I just opened a bookstore and I'd love to carry, I heard, you know, about your book on on this podcast. And I'd love to carry the volumes in our store. So I contacted Tyler, who's the author and publisher of this book. And he is, you know, I'm connecting them so they can communicate.
Oh, that's great.
So it's like an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity for Tyler now to have his books in Kenya. And those are the things that happen from conversations like this. You never know.
Yeah. And it's especially, I think, within the, you know, the community of color, there's just so much talent. And it's like, we only knew about each other, like what could we, you know, what could stop us, right?
I agree.
But yes, but I definitely look forward to, you know, seeing what's next. I mean, is there any, I always look for exclusives on this show.
Yes!
Is there any According to RP exclusives, you know, you heard it here first type moments?
Now I'm trying to think, what can I say? What can't I say? I can say that Selfie Cosmetics and I are working on expanding our product range.
Okay.
A lot of people have been asking. We have a new lip liner, which we launched, that matches the colors of the Legacy Collection. Mm-hmm. But we are looking to add another product line. We can't share what it is yet.
Okay, it's okay.
But it's coming.
So you've heard it here first.
Yes.
There is more to Essentials
there
by Edwina.
Definitely more. And we're also focusing on a lot more international expansion because there's so many brown women worldwide who still don't have options like we do in the U.S. for makeup. They can't run down to like Duane Reade and get a foundation. Like in Sweden and, you know, Norway, Denmark, Scandinavia, for example, there's still such a huge need for diversity.
Yeah. So, I can only imagine that.
It's still hard.
Yeah, because I don't know too many black people living over there.
No. We're not that many, and we don't have many options. So I'm selling my products, obviously, my mom's store at home. But we are focusing on speaking with other bigger retailers on carrying the products so our brown sisters can get some love.
Yes, our international brown sisters need love, too. And I find that a lot of times they probably are in more of the struggle, like you said, than we are.
They
like
are.
The access
really
is just not... Even buying something online will probably take like a month to get there.
Yes. Yeah, we definitely need to support and remember that there are so many of us everywhere, you know?
All over the place.
All over. I mean, in Africa, in Asia.
Yeah,
like
Australia.
Australia, yes. There's so many brown people. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know how I even got this information. I must have been like, again, I kind of like reading weird things or whatever, but I came across something. And I was just like, there's a high like African population there. Like
West
Nigerians
African.
Are there. I one of my friends, I think one of his relatives live over there.
Yes.
But then I actually was like reading something and there's just like a real like African population in Australia.
Incredible. I'm like, wait, I want to go too. Where y'all at?
Let me visit.
Yeah, I met a Ghanaian guy in Vegas a few days ago and he spoke Chinese and he lived in China. And he was like, you know, if you ever want to do business in China, I can be your guy.
Interesting.
And I'm like, see?
Well, yeah, no. Let's talk.
Yes, I totally got the number, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's, we're everywhere. Okay. We need to connect more.
Yes.
I think that, you know, I'd love to, in the future, create some kind of platform where, you know, people of color can really reach each other. Because we need each other.
Yeah.
We do.
I would always be interested to, like, speaking to somebody in, like, you know, like, Scandinavia.
Yeah.
You know, just like a pen pal system. Remember back in the day, like, I mean, I don't think I ever had, like, a real pen pal. But, you know, pen pals were introduced, like, people you just wrote to.
Yes.
You didn't know who they were.
I know.
And I know with social media now, it's much easier to connect. But it's still... But we're still not connecting, even though it's easy per se. We're really not.
No, there needs to be like a more intentional,
a genuine level, not surface.
Yeah, good idea.
Might be onto something, Adorna.
I know. I'm sitting here like, girl, you need to start writing this down. This might be.
Let's focus on that. No.
I love that.
Yes, we will figure that out.
Yeah, and together, you know, you got to do things together.
Well, that's. I think that's what it, you know. That's the one thing too. Like, so my other podcast, Frida's World, is gonna be launching back again.
Nice.
Hopefully next week, I believe. And it's. I mean, that platform was created for women of color to, you know, especially women of color. Working women of color, to kind of like talk about like the everyday things that go on in the workplace, and you know, just how you feel as a woman of color, like dealing with a lot of those things.
Yeah,
and I think that creating more platforms. I mean, there are so many platforms, but
there
I still
are.
Feel like.
Yeah.
We're missing the mark somewhere, right?
I know.
I feel like we're missing the mark. And although so many people are doing so many things, I'm like, if there was a way that we all could just
bridge.
Do something together, maybe.
I agree. We need like the Facebook for us.
Yeah. Something
you know?
Like that.
Something that's so major where it's like you have to be on that platform. And then you can all obviously implement the other platforms that are there. But just a genuine place.
Just something like central, like where...
Yeah.
I can find out about this other woman's group that's doing something or like, you know, oh, you have a book club that's virtual. Maybe we can bridge both of ours together and increase the numbers.
Like a centralized, anyone listening?
Yeah.
Give us a shout.
Give us
a shout.
Yes. According to RP at gmail.com.
There
you can find me on social media, according to RP. I think we're like on something, we're on the cusp of something here.
I feel like there's something brewing here.
Yes.
Because you're right. There are a lot of like silos. We need to like bring it into one.
Yeah. And I think that would be where like the real transformation, the real change, the real empowerment.
Exactly.
Because how many empowerment groups do you need?
That's what I mean. And that's what trips me out because it's every day there's a new retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Every day there's a new panel.
Every day,
and those are great.
It's
I'm not.
Yeah, because I even do them with mine, but I'm like, is there a way that I can connect with another organization that's like it could be like a summit? Could it just be a yearly summit, a quarterly summit?
It has to be. I think Essence Fest, though, has done a great job.
They have.
In the U.S. of doing, like, of having a place where black women come together.
Yeah.
I mean, they have really, like, been able to create something really special.
And then have like the different vendors from the different shops.
Yeah.
Like I think it's a great opportunity. I think that there needs to be more of that. Like even
virtually.
With the business world. Like, you know, there's so many entrepreneurs out here, women entrepreneurs, and it's like there's all these different, just like you said, silos, there's 50 million entrepreneur women support groups.
So many.
You know, and I'm sure everybody's doing great. You know, we all have our own missions, but I'm like, there has to be something more universal.
Yeah.
More
and
global.
Where we could all benefit from.
Yeah.
Because there's so many groups, like you said, that we don't even know about that are, I'm sure, amazing, But if, yeah, if there could be a centralized place.
We're going to work on this, Edwina.
I watched a video yesterday of Jeff. Is it Bezos? How do you pronounce his name? The founder of Amazon. Is it Bezos? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
His first interview. And he was like, you know, I just wanted to create a centralized place for people to purchase books. And he was like, I could tell where the internet was going. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create something that matched that, you know, strategically mm-hmm. match where it was going, and look at Amazon today.
Yeah. You know? And I'm like, I feel like we have so many ideas.
Yeah.
That there's no way that we could not like replicate something like that. But I think, I mean, and this will obviously like just be another episode, but it's definitely, I think, the fear of branching out, you know, because at Black people, we still have this fear of like being out there, the lack of capital.
That really isn't
so much of a lack, because there are so many Black entrepreneurs that actually have
that
money to invest, but they are not investing it in Black people. So real quick, I just wanted to get your take on this Gucci fiasco, since you are in the fashion world. We keep seeing companies like Prada, Gucci, H&M, Heineken, the list goes on of just companies being culturally insensitive by the products that they're putting out, their marketing, their ads. Is there anything that we can do to ensure that, you know, the companies are being more culturally sensitive?
They're not supporting Black businesses or supporting executives to work at companies like Gucci in order to change the narrative.
Yeah.
Like, I doubt that, you know, Louis Vuitton would do something like that with having Virgil on board now,
mm-hmm.
because it would have to pass someone that would flag
it's
it.
It's like, we're in this, and I think that's what a lot of people are just kind of like baffled. Like,
the H&M monkey scandals, like, it passed everyone's desk and you green-lighted it.
Yeah.
You didn't have a sister or a brother on staff. We need more of that.
Yeah.
You know, more executives in position to flag things. And I think that's what the conversation should be about not wearing. I mean, I have a pair of Gucci boots that I just got for Christmas, and we're canceling Gucci, so I can't wear them anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But does that really make a difference?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, we'll be back on Gucci after the strike.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Seriously.
Oh,
we got to do better. We got to do better.
But I'm going to bring you back so we can talk more about the fashion side of
things
too.
Because I feel
like there's a lot. I do want to get into this.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that especially with you being on like the inside, in a sense, you can shed a lot of light to it. So guys, stay tuned. There will be another episode with Edwina
Kulego. Thank you, Rita.
Yes,
this
definitely.
Was great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. Of course. And with that, everyone, it is a wrap for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the gems that were dropped by Miss Edwina. And that's a wrap. So I'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSRadio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.
Anytime.
Download it now.
Thank you.